Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hello, everybody. Hello, Hope United. Thank you, worship team, for ushering us into the presence of Abba every Sunday so faithfully, so wonderfully, so powerfully. We are ushered into the presence of God. Thank you, Father. We honor you this morning, giving honor first and foremost to God, from whom all blessings flow. Father, we want to thank you. I want to go into a word of prayer before I continue. Father, we thank you this morning. We honor you. We give you praise and worship. This is the day, Lord, that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we cover every ear that is present today. Father God, we pray that you would prepare the hearts and minds of your people, that you would circumcise our hearing and enlarge our capacity with your wisdom and understanding so we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You guys may be seated. And so Pastors Joshua and Corinne are not here. They send their love, and we send love right back to them. And we're praying that they return safely in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I want to give honor to God, from whom all blessings flow, for the opportunity to be able to share with you this morning, and also honoring my pastors, Pastors Joshua and Corinne, for the opportunity as well to share with you. And so you know that God gave us the word undefeated. And in 2021, we are undefeated. How many of you are with that? How many of you understand? Yes. Amen. And so when Pastors Joshua and Corinne gave us that word, you know, at the end of last year, I was excited. You know, I'm sure many of you were as well. At the end of the year, you know, the year that we had in 2020, you want to take, you know, you want to start the new year wanting to kick some butt. And to me, undefeated was like the best possible word that God could have given this house. And so I went to God. I said, you know, I went home. I said, God, that's a big word. As if he didn't know. I said, God, that's a big word. And the Holy Spirit gently reminded me that, yes, indeed, it is a big word, because we serve a big God. And as Pastor Joshua shared with us last week, that we serve a God who is indeed undefeated. And so if we serve a God who is undefeated, then he would want us to walk undefeated as well. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit told me, you know, when I give my people a word, I don't want them to doubt it. I don't want them to question it. I don't want them to overthink it. I want them to come into agreement with my word. And so God wants us to come into agreement with the fact that 2021, we are undefeated. Now, you know, this is regardless of what things might look like, you know, because you're not always going to feel undefeated this year. You're not always, your circumstances are not always going to reflect that you're undefeated. God gave us overflow last year, right? We believed the overflow. We started live January, February, March. What happened? COVID-19. And many of us had to be furloughed. I had to be furloughed for 4 months. And when I was ready to go back to work, that week I started to not feel well and got tested positive for COVID. Now, it didn't always look like I was walking in the overflow. You know, my circumstances didn't always look it, and I didn't always feel it within myself. My emotions didn't always feel as if I was walking in the overflow, but I came into agreement with it at the beginning of the year. And so no matter what's happening, I stood in agreement. And that's the same thing we need to do this year when we're walking undefeated. We may not always feel it. It may not always look like it. But we came into agreement with the word of God. And we're going to stand on that word, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So we have to stand in agreement with God. Amen. With God and each other. Because after all, we are one family in faith. Amen. And so the Lord started to deal with me about our mind, and that the one place that the enemy, the first place that the enemy will try to defeat us is in our mind. And so if we want to walk undefeated this year, we cannot walk undefeated if we are indeed defeated in our thinking. And so the title of our message today is The Undefeated Mind, Thinking About What You're Thinking About. A couple years ago, God started to deal with me. I would say about 4 or 5 years ago, God started to deal with me in the area of my mind. And the Holy Spirit was very honest and raw and said, listen, you don't always think like you're saved. You don't always think like you're a Christian. And so I was convicted, because, you know, conviction leads to repentance. I was convicted and I had to repent. So the Holy Spirit started to show me that many of the things I was dealing with, whether they were emotional, physical, relational, spiritual, had to do with the way that I think. The way that I think about myself, the way that I think about the people around me, the way that I think about my circumstance, and the way that I think about God in the way that I think about how God thinks about me. And so, but it wasn't until the last 3-4 months of last year that I started to notice a shift in my thinking, how the Holy Spirit would instantly rebuke me, instantly correct me when I would say something that was not aligning with the Word of God. And so your life now is related or is a reflection of the thoughts that you've had yesterday or in the past. And so I started to think, what is a thought? You know, the Bible talks about thoughts, and the Bible even says in 2 Corinthians that we are to take our thoughts captive. Now, when you think about taking something captive, you take something captive that has the ability to do you harm. So why would God say, you know, take captive? So what is a thought? I wanted to look it up. I wanted to go to psychology today. You know, they deal with issues of the mind. They study the science of the mind. So I wanted to know, what was a thought? What is the definition of a thought? But before I share that definition with you, it is said on average that we have about 60,000 thoughts per day. So if you break it down, you're looking at 3,000 thoughts per hour, 50 thoughts per second. And almost all of everything we think are negative, up to 80% of what we think are negative. And almost all of today's negative thoughts are recycled from yesterday's negative thoughts. And so we have our own recycling system. We recycle our thoughts. So according to psychology today, a thought is a representation of something. A representation is a likeness, a thing that depicts another thing by having characteristics that corresponds to that other thing. I'll repeat that. A thought is a representation of something. A representation is a likeness, a thing that depicts another thing by having characteristics that correspond to that other thing. So if we were to Christianize this a little bit, because y'all know we speak Christianese, if we were to Christianize this a little bit, then our thoughts then should be a representation and have the characteristics of God in whose image and likeness were created. And so the principle here is that our thoughts should be a reflection of our Creator. And so thoughts, praise the Lord, thoughts are powerful. Thoughts are powerful. Why are thoughts powerful? Thoughts are powerful because, first of all, God says they are. And thoughts, our thoughts have the power to shape who and what we become. According to Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Other translation says, as he thinks in his heart, so does he become. So if our thoughts then have the power to shape who and what we become, then we must think about what we're thinking about. Because our thoughts set the tone for our lives. All godly actions begin with the renewing of the mind. Right thinking produces right actions. Our actions are the fruit of our deepest thoughts, and our thoughts become our destiny. I'm sure you've heard this quote on thoughts before. It says, watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, for they become your destiny. And secondly, the battle starts in our mind. Our mind is where the enemy sets up strongholds. And those strongholds can keep us from being undefeated. The strongholds that the enemy will try to set up in our minds can keep you, can keep me from walking undefeated this year, as is God's promise. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient. Now, again, we see that warfare terminology is being used, right? So why would God use warfare terminology when speaking about the minds and about the thoughts? Because the battle starts in the mind. The battle starts in your mind. And so many of you have heard of Joyce Meyer. If you've been alive for the past couple of decades, you should know who Joyce Meyer is. Joyce Meyer has written countless books. Her book, Battlefield of the Mind, was first published in 1995. It still remains her number one selling book. And so that's because people are battling in their minds. People want to know, how do I stop thinking the way that I think? Even unbelievers, I believe, they want to know, why do I think the way that I think? Why do I think the way that I think, and how can I stop thinking the way that I think and have better thinking? And so to keep you from walking undefeated, he will try to defeat you in the area of your mind. He will set up strongholds in your mind. A stronghold of the mind is a habitual thought pattern that is built into your thought life. You know, thoughts of fear. I know you've probably met some people that are afraid about everything, and they're expecting everything bad to happen to them. Human logic, trying to understand the principles of God using human logic, human reasonings, negative thought patterns, negative belief systems, lies of the enemy that we have adopted to be true in our lives. And not only do we adopt them, we confess them over ourselves. The things we say about us. You know, your mama used to tell you, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And sometimes we think about if we don't have anything nice to say about another person. But we never think, well, you know what? If I don't have anything nice to say about myself, I shouldn't say anything at all either. And so our thoughts become strongholds because our thoughts are the foundation of our feelings. Your thoughts will affect the way you feel. Our thoughts are the foundation of our decisions. When we have to make a decision, we think it over. And for us as believers, the word of God should be the final authority in any decision that we make. What does the word say about it? What does the spirit of God say about it? How am I being led? Our decisions should not be based on what others are thinking, but what God and his word is telling us to do. Our thoughts are the foundation of our character. I shared that little quote with you just a while ago. You know, I like to memorize things. And there are many methods you can use to memorize. Some people write things down, and as they write it, they remember it. I like to use the repetition method. So if I'm trying to remember something, I'll repeat it. I'll make a little song out of it. I'll repeat it. I'll make a song and dance to it. I'll repeat it. So that's the method I like to use. Your thoughts are the foundation of your character because your actions become habits, and those habits become part of your character. And so when I repeat it, I'm cementing the information in my memory. Actions that are repeated becomes a habit. It becomes a regular tendency. A habit is something you do, you don't even think about it. You just do it. Sometimes you catch yourself after you've already done it. And so our actions that are repeated then cements into our character, and that's how they become part of our character. Satan and his demons have one plan. He wants to capture the minds of people. And we're not talking about him only capturing the minds of people that don't know Christ to keep them from knowing Christ. He also wants to capture the minds of God's people to keep us from walking in the promises and the purpose of God for our lives. Your mind is the command center. It is a place of strategy. The person who controls the mind controls a very strategic place. Defeat or victory starts in your mind. Progress or stagnation starts in your mind. And so he wants to set up these arguments, which is an opposing view of what God is telling you. So just like God has a plan for us to walk undefeated, the enemy's plan also is to keep us from walking undefeated. And he does this by setting up arguments. The first time we meet Satan in the book of Genesis, what is he doing? He's arguing with the woman. And he's telling the woman, God didn't say that. And she said, yeah, God said if I eat of that, nope. God knows the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to become like him. Opposing view, because they were already like God. And he wants to set up pretensions. He wants to make his lies appear to become true. Satan will never give you the truth of anything because his views will always oppose God's word. Always oppose. For there is no truth in him, John 8:44 says. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So our negative thought patterns then create negative belief systems, and those negative belief systems become strongholds. Now, if we want to be able to walk with an undefeated mind, we have to know what a defeated mind looks like. Romans 8:6-7 says, the mind that is governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So then a defeated mind is a carnal mind, a mind that is governed by the flesh. A defeated mind is set on the things of this world. A defeated mind is hostile to God and the things of God because it cannot submit to them because it does not understand them. It does not understand God's laws. God's principles does not make sense to a defeated mind. And so a defeated mind can't even come into agreement with the fact that God has said that this year we are undefeated. Because a defeated mind cannot understand that we serve a God who is undefeated, who's never been beaten, and who will never be beaten. And there's no one that can beat our God. Amen. Amen. And so then what do we do? What do we do to have an undefeated mind? We have to take our thoughts captive. I love the Passion translation of this verse. It says, we capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. We can't entertain every thought that comes into our minds because not every thought that comes into your mind is from God. Yeah. So we have to take them captive. What do you do when you take something captive? You imprison it. You confine it. You know, I'm married to a veteran. I'm married to a Marine. And I almost think that should have been part of the vows for the amount of war movies I've had to watch. I think it should have been part of, you know, do you promise to watch an unlimited amount of war movies with your... I think that should have been part of the vows. But, you know, when you capture a prisoner of war, what do? You interrogate it. And so we need to interrogate every negative thought that the enemy brings into our minds. Every negative thought that is opposing to the promises of God. Every negative thought that does not align with the promises of God for us. Amen? Amen. And so, because our enemy is very strategic. Now, let me tell you, very strategic with the thoughts that he brings. I believe even the timing of the thoughts have a purpose. See, let me give you an example. How come you could be about your business all day, but the moment you say, I want to get into the presence of God, the moment you say, I'm going to pick up my Bible, the moment you want to get into worship, that's when everything comes to your mind. Hey, did you pay that bill? Hey, what are you cooking for dinner tonight? Hey, the laundry's piling up. Every thought comes into your mind when you want to get into the presence of God. That's because even the timing of the thoughts are very strategic and has a purpose. And so our minds must be renewed. To have an undefeated mind, we have to renew our minds. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So then a renewed and transformed mind is an undefeated mind. The undefeated mind does not conform to the thought patterns of this world. The value system, the value that is rooted in the mind of an undefeated person does not and cannot resemble that of the world. It is only when the Spirit of God comes and renews and re-educates and redirects our minds that we are truly transformed. The undefeated mind is the only mind with which we can test and approve God's good and perfect will for us. If your mind is defeated, you can't even do that. And so the principle is to have an undefeated mind, we must put on the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, let this same mind be in you and in me and again in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so to have the mind of Christ, to have the undefeated mind, we must know the word of God. And to know the word of God, we have to read and meditate on the word of God. Now, you know, the word meditation has gotten a bad rap in the Christian community, because it's associated with yoga and New Age and Eastern religion, but it's not foreign to Christianity. You know, over 20 times in the Old Testament, we are told to meditate on the Word of God. And in Psalm 119 alone, 8 times we are told to meditate on the Word of God and His precepts. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So if we want to have that peace in life that Romans 6 says, we need to meditate on the word of God. We need to read the word of God. Amen. We need to study this book of instruction, Joshua 1:8 says. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So if we want to prosper and succeed in the area of our mind, we have to know the word of God. Because when we meditate, amen. When we meditate on the word of God, we're fighting the battle where it starts. Yes. The battle starts in your mind. So when you're meditating on the word, you are fighting the battle where it starts. It is the word that brings revival. It is the word that refreshes. It is the word that renews our mind. So when the enemy comes with his thoughts, his opposing thoughts that are always going to oppose God, you know how to fight him. God's word is alive and active, Hebrews 4:12 says. Right? It's able to cut through our emotions and tell us what is your emotions and what is the Spirit of God. It cuts the joints and marrow. It separates the meat from the bone. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And I believe we entertain certain thoughts because we don't read or meditate the Word of God enough. Because only when we know the Word of God well enough, we'll be able to compare what is in our mind with what is in the mind of God. God speaks to us through His Word. We cannot have a relationship with God and not have a relationship with His Word. To know God, you have to know His Word. And His Word says that He holds His Word even above His name. And so it is the Word of God that cuts through all of that negative thoughts. It's only the Word. So not only must we listen to the Word, we must also allow the Word to shape our lives. our thought patterns, our belief systems must be shaped by the word. The more time we spend reading and meditating on the word of God, the more ammunition we will have to fight with. You know, I've read Battlefield of the Mind several times, and I think I need to just read it more. I don't think we can ever read enough on how we can take captive our thoughts. And Joyce Meyer says in that book, the way that you interrupt a thought is what words. You cannot interrupt a thought with another thought. And so the word that we choose to interrupt the thoughts with is the word of God. The word of God that is our sword of the spirit, along with our other weapons of prayer and worship. Amen. And so when the enemy comes into your mind, like he will always do, because that's just the liar that he is, when he comes into your mind with a thought of fear, you can remind him that, listen, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. When he wants to tell you that you're weak and you can't do this and you can't do that, listen, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. And when he comes and tries to tell you that you are not loved by God, you remind him that God loves you with an everlasting love, so much so that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. That's how much he loves you. And so Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, because when you're starting that journey of transforming your mind and your thoughts, it's not going to happen overnight. I would love to tell you it is, but it's not. Because you've been thinking that way your entire life. If you've been thinking negatively for most of your life, it's going to take time for the Holy Spirit to re-educate, renew, and refresh your mind, redirect your mind to now the thought patterns of God. So we must not give up. We must consistently insist on taking captive every negative thought that the enemy tries to bring into our minds. We cannot give up on that. We have to continue. We have to continue. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So that's how an undefeated mind thinks. The undefeated mind thinks about the noble things of God, the right things of God, the principles of God, the pureness of God's love. We think about the things that are admirable, the things that are worthy of praise, the things that are praiseworthy and excellent. And all of those things are found in the Word of God. All of them are found in the Word of God. No one can tell you who you are but God. No one can tell you who you are but God. And so we must keep our minds on all the good things of God, the good things that he's done in us, the good things that he's done through us and for us. We must keep our minds on the promises of God, like 2021. We are indeed undefeated. That's God's promise for this house. Yes. Keep our minds on his blessings. We have to examine also the things that we put into our minds. The things that we put by watching television, the type of books we read. If you went to romance, we have a great Christian romance writer, Minister Kendi. Shameless plug, yes. There are resources that are godly materials that you can use to keep your mind on the things of God. We have to replace those harmful, worldly, harmful inputs and put the Word of God into our minds. And always we have to ask God to keep us, to help us, to keep our minds focused on Him, on the things that are good, the things that are pure. It takes practice, I'm going to tell you. Remember at the beginning, I told you that God started to deal with me 4 or 5 years ago. But it wasn't until the end of last year I started to notice a shift in my mind, a shift in my thinking, a shift in the natural and the spiritual. So I encourage you today, don't give up, because God's not giving up on you. So you can't give up on yourself. If God, your creator, has not given up on you, you don't have the right to give up on yourself. And so if you would stand with me, I want to declare our undefeated declaration. And I think this is something that you need to take a voice note of yourself saying it. Listen to it, repeat it, memorize it, write it down, put it on your fridge. because I believe it's powerful. And if you repeat after me, I am part of God's undefeated church. I can't tell. I am part of God's undefeated church.
I am part of God's undefeated church.
I will not accept defeat.
I will not accept defeat.
I will not submit to an inferior kingdom.
I will not submit to an inferior kingdom.
Because I am part of God's superior kingdom.
Because I am part of God's superior kingdom.
I will let my mind be transformed by the word of God.
I will let my mind be transformed by the word of God.
To understand who I am in Christ. I am more than a conqueror. God's church is more than a conqueror. The authority that God has given us is greater. I want to say that again. The authority that God has given us is greater than any authority of darkness. Today I am ready to stand with other believers and conquer the enemy on every front. I am part of God's undefeated church. 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 Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord.